Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead.
You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We've seen what you can do. God of wonders, your power has no end. The things you've done before, in greater measure, you will do again. 'Cause there's no...
Welcome to Wednesday Live, a production of WCNO Christian Radio, sponsored in part by Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. David wrote in Psalm 145, verses 11 and 12, "They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom." That's the vision of Wednesday Live, to edify, inspire, to comfort, to encourage, and to bless you. Let's see what God has in store for us today.
Oh God of revival, let hope arise. Death is overcome.
And good morning. Welcome to Wednesday Live. It is right now 11:01, and you are listening to WCNO in Palm City, Florida. Keep your dial set right there at 89.9. I have an exciting group of people in the studio today, and we are going to have an awesome time. And in addition to our guests that are here, we have some well-known staff. And I'll start with ladies. Karen, welcome.
Good morning. How are you?
we are up and ready, and we're excited about today. David, great to have you on the team here.
Always a pleasure being had.
Yes, being had.
No, it's wonderful to be here today.
Yeah, that always gets me when I say, "It's great to see you." They say, "Well, it's great to be seen." You know, it's like one of those things that is there. Brandon also is with us today, and Brandon, welcome.
Thank you. Blessing to be here.
Brandon's the youngest voice that sits around the microphones here, and so it's awesome to have you joining us. And Brandon has some interest in technology production.
Yep,
in those areas. So he's with us, picking up what he can learn from us. So great to have him. Also, Shamus, great to have you with us today.
Thank you.
And we're going to be
talking
a little bit about what's the name of your organization?
The Father-Child Connection.
Father-Child Connection, and what an important topic. What an important topic, and how important it is for dads to be dads again.
Amen.
And really, it's a call to revival and awakening and a return to biblical truth in our families. Okay, so we also have another guest. It's going to be coming along, getting ready to call her. Karen, let's go to the mailbag and just share a couple pieces while I look to get Brenda McMenamin on the phone.
Yes, we received a note here from Celestine, one of our wonderful supporters, and he said, "I just wanted to let you know that I have victory over my house, and because of all my praise, I have victory over my house. This is why. Continue to pray for me, please." And we know that Celestine, he's a great man of God that evangelizes where he is. And he's just been a real blessing to us here. And we just rejoice with him that God has given him victory.
That's awesome.
Amen.
Because
mm-hmm.
we've been, a lot of prayers gone up over that.
That's right.
We also, I'm sorry, we had something else.
That's all right. A prayer request here.
Okay.
Do you have one too?
No, but I have that request from our friend in Okeechobee. Just it'll put this out over the
air.
Okay,
good. Go ahead.
And then we can go to prayer. But we have a friend. I won't mention his name, but he lives in Okeechobee. He's a listener and a friend of the station. And he said he's trying to find a solid Christian psychiatrist living in Okeechobee. Apparently there's no one there. He's willing to travel a short distance. We're not aware of anybody in that profession who's a Christian, but maybe one of our listeners is, keeping in mind if you're if you're a listener and you're on your boat, living on your boat in Key West, that you may not know
might
anybody
not work.
Locally. But that if you, someone within reasonable driving distance, if you're familiar with someone, Christian psychiatrist, if you'll call the station 772-221-1100, we will pass that information along to our friend in Okeechobee.
And as we were looking at this as staff, Karen, you made mention of the fact that we as a station do not recommend from our station anyone, but we understand that this request is someone that's looking to fulfill the word of God, perhaps. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth the way of sinners, or sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So this is someone that's looking for godly counsel, or from a godly person that may be in a field that that there is not a great deal of that available.
Yes.
So, Karen, you have one more thing?
This prayer request that we received a couple of days ago from Jarek, and the prayer request is, please pray that Jean, don't want to give the whole name, that Jean would return home to Van Nuys, California. Please pray that God will make a way. So we don't
lift
know
that up in prayer, Karen.
We don't know any of the circumstances, but Father, you know exactly where this individual is. Father God, I just pray right now, Lord, that you would speak to his heart. Father, that you would draw him to yourself, Jesus, and that just like the prodigal son, that he would return home. Father, that you would make a way for him to return home to his family, God.
Thank you, Father.
And Father, that you would make that way where there seems to be no way, God, because we know that you will fulfill all of your plans and purposes for this individual, God. We just pray that he would even contact his family, that they would have peace of mind. And we thank you for bringing him home in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Well, let's see if we can get Brenda McMenamin on the phone at this time, and we're going to be talking a little bit about some...
Hello.
Yes. Hi, Brenda. Good morning.
Good morning.
You're on air.
How are you?
I am good. Say hello to all of our WCNO friends that are just looking to hear what God's going to speak through you this morning.
Yes, we're all waiting to hear.
We're all waiting to hear. Well, Brenda, you know, we started talking about something back. This was back in November when I saw online. We had, of course, already you'd come on air with us and talked about the constitutional amendment. And I know you're going to talk about that this morning. But I saw this notice from a Florida state rep that was withdrawing an abortion bill and shifting focus to women's empowerment. And when I read that, I thought, oh, you know, what does this mean? Does this mean that that there's no longer opposition in the state of Florida, or that they have ducked? And, of course, I'm pretty sure that's not the case. But I know you're very active in many things, and we're appreciative of all of that. But I know pro-life is a very strong vision that you have, and you are a constitutionalist, so we're happy to have you on air.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. It's wonderful to be here, and the pro-abortion side does not seem to be losing steam at all.
Right.
They're very focused. I don't know if you saw how many people for the pro-abortion people's initiative were out in our community. Did you run into any in the just in the parking lot?
I didn't. Tell me about that.
Well, I saw four different young men, and they were all very kind and very polite, and so I was able to talk with them. And it happened to be that each one of them was black, and I asked them if they understood the parallels between Dred Scott and Roe v. Wade. And some of them, one dear man, hadn't even heard of it. And I also asked them if they were Christians, and three of them were, one was not. And especially for Christians, when we understand that we're made in the image of God, we have the responsibility to protect life and to make sure that everyone has the right of life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness or property. And Dred Scott denied that to the slaves. Mm. And we understand that injustice. In fact, we're indignant with the founders that they didn't end slavery sooner. And when you understand the history, our history from Origins of Documents, you realize what a struggle that is to end injustice. And I think it helps us understand it even more when we realize that Roe v. Wade was passed over 50 years ago. And we haven't ended abortion. There's still that abortion mill on 12th and Delaware is busier than it's ever been because Florida is less pro-life than the states north of us. So those people from those states are coming to Florida for their abortions. And so it seems like we're losing the battle, and yet this is what I want to encourage your listeners to do, is when we see these pro-abortion people, and they didn't even think they were pro-abortion, they did not realize how pro-abortion that petition initiative is, but from their website, it says their objective is creating a constitutional amendment that explicitly blocks the implementation of laws that prohibit, delay, or restrict abortion access. So basically what that pro-abortion petition initiative is going to do is undo all of the pro-life legislation that we've done over decades legislatively. And even though they have it now, they've got the signatures they need, they've satisfied the congressional district requirements, but it's probably going to be contested in court because my understanding from legal counsel is that it's considered deceptive and not single subject. Because when I talked to these young men, they didn't think it was a pro-abortion initiative. They thought that it was Floridians Protecting Freedom. That's the name of it. So I was able to talk to them about what an injustice Dred Scott was that denied the slaves their liberty. And they began to realize that it's the same issue of personhood with the preborn, that we're all made in the image of God. And God's mandate to us in Deuteronomy 30:19 is, "This day I call the heavens and earth as witness against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Now choose life so that you and your children may live." So it may look like they're winning, but when we have these one-on-one conversations, all four of these young men listened to me. And one of them said he wasn't a Christian, and I had a brief chat with them, very polite. And afterward, I thought, I bet I could have won him to you, Lord. And I just began praying for him. And, you know, he wound up right in my path again. And I got to lead him to the Lord in the middle of Walmart.
Wow. Oh, wow. That is awesome. Wow. That
Isn't
is
that
awesome.
Beautiful? Oh,
wow. That is awesome.
And so I think what the Holy Spirit was teaching me is these people aren't our enemy. They were wonderful, and we can engage them in conversation and share biblical truth and win them.
So, Brenda, to a point, you're saying that the enemy takes advantage of ignorance and is able to seduce many to deception simply out of a lack of knowledge, and we're in a position to bring the truth to them.
Yes, especially when, and these young men confessed it too, they said they're making a lot of money by petitioning. And so one of them, I just laid hands on him. I said, "Let's pray for God to give you a better job."
There you go. There you go. All right, so the Protect Human Life Constitutional Amendment, we're going to talk about that because this is the answer, right?
Yes, it really is. And the what it does is recognize the God-given right to life of the preborn individual, and it defines preborn individual as a preborn human person at any stage of development. And it also affirms the life-saving procedures to save the life of the mother, because that's been a strategy of the pro-abortion people to make it think that we don't care about the women, and we do. And everyone that loves Sue Chess and everything they're doing at CareNet realizes how much the pro-life organizations, especially in our community, where so many churches and businesses and individuals support CareNet and bring troubled women that have these, you know, kind of difficult pregnancies to them so they can get the ministry they need. And so that's a beautiful part of what we want to do, is minister to both of them. So if the listeners want to go to that website to sign the petition, they can go to humanlifeflorida.com. Human Life, it's humanlifefl.com.
All right.
And it's, yeah, and they can sign it, and but they need to get it in right away, because that window's closing. And churches even have a chance this weekend to let their congregation sign it and then get it out next week. We still have time to do that. And you know what I see it as, Pastor Jonathan, is very similar when you read Nehemiah 10, and there was a whole group of people, you know, when you know the history of that, had been left behind, and they had married people from the pagan countries that God told us not to, because they turn our hearts away from him. And then there was a group of people in Nehemiah that signed a vow and said, we love what God loves. And they listed all these different things that they knew God loved. But we're going to do this. That's how I see this petition. And I love our speaker, Mike Johnson, just quoted John Adams, I think it was just like several weeks ago, but he quoted John Adams as saying, duty is ours, but the results are God's. And so even if this doesn't go through, the opportunity for each of us as those who love God and fear God and want to honor him and want to choose life and see our life, liberty, and property protected, you can go and sign it. And then the address is right there on the petition. Just mail it in.
All right. And let's give that address again, Brenda.
It's humanlifefl.com. So that's FL for Florida, humanlifefl.com. Or they can go to teachinghisstory.com. I've got one whole page for life that's got a lot of different videos. There's one video that talks about how all this got started. It's very dark, and I think people need to read that and watch it. It's a whole series set that talks about what's behind the abortion industry. It's well documented by Jay Rogers, if any of your listeners know him. I think Christians need to understand what's behind this, because when God says to choose life, to have blessings, not curses, and life, not death, that's reality. We have to end abortion so we can have life for our little ones.
So what are the requirements? How important is it for people to actually sign one of these petitions and get it sent in? I mean, how important is that? I've always repeatedly heard individuals say, whether it's elections or whatever, well, I'm just one person. What difference does it make?
I think with God, it makes all the difference. This is a way that we as his child can honor him and bless him. I mean, look at what he's done for us. He sent his son to die on the cross for our sins, and all of us that have given our lives to him know how life-changing and beautiful and holy that is. This gives us a chance to touch his heart. No matter what happens, we can choose life. We can choose what he loves. We can choose to honor him. And that's what we should be living for. That is, you know, as Christians, that's what we live for, is to please and honor him. And this is very dear to his heart.
So to get this on the ballot, though, it does require, there are requirements. This isn't just an application. It requires the response of the populace. And what is that number of petitions that are required?
It's 900,000, roughly. I think it's just over that, maybe. But definitely less than a million. So, and then there's a certain requirement of congressional districts that have to be represented. And so, you know, it's not easy. And some people suggest, oh, this would be so much easier to do legislatively. And I don't disagree with that. What we've had such a challenge getting legislators to do is not put exceptions on them. And I used to think that exceptions must be the Christian way to go with our pro-life legislation, because all of our pro-life legislators put exceptions on the bills. And yet, you know, that exceptions means for rape. And I used to do a lot of street ministry, and I began to talk to women that had been raped. And they get really offended when you call the baby the rapist's baby. And I was, that really surprised me. And I think one out of literally 100 women that I got to talk to, only one said that she should be able to, you know, not have her child. But all the other ones were offended that we would, in fact, one woman, she had been raped. She was an attorney. She was sobbing on the phone saying she could not find one person in her church to help her have her baby. They all told her, you've been raped, you should go have an abortion.
Oh.
You stop and you think about that. These women that have been so traumatized, they need love. If anyone needs CareNet and or, you know, a Christian home to be taken into, it's these women. So we don't want to turn our back on them. They're especially, specifically, the ones we don't want to turn our back on. So there's a lot to renew our minds on. We've been victimized by a very clever campaign. And so we need to, and if you go to my website, teachinghisstory.com, and go to that life page, I've got a lot of videos from different people that you can watch. And I think it's something that we have to do, because we all know we're hanging by a thread right now. We need to repent before God and get right with Him and come under His mantle of blessings again.
Well, it certainly is an opportune time for the body of Christ to connect with a solution. I mean, this is a direction. It's an answer. It's a provision. It's an opportunity. And you, when you said something, we were talking the other day, and you in an email, and you mentioned something that, and you mentioned it again already today, that currently there are more abortions taking place than there was before. Now, were you speaking of in the state of Florida? In reference to the increase of numbers because of people coming to our state.
Chamber. Yes. In Florida, the abortions since Roe v. Wade have gone up in Florida since Roe v. Wade was overturned, because the states north of us are more pro-life, so those people are coming here to have their abortions.
I believe that's an important message to get out to the state of Florida, and certainly to the Christian community, that that this is it's a critical point, and we have other states residents from other states coming into our state for abortions. And, you know, we as godly people really need to stand up. We need to stand up and make sure we do what we're able to do. You also have mentioned some prayer points, and I think they're pretty powerful. And certainly you've already mentioned from Deuteronomy that it's time. Now is time to seek God and to act. But you gave us some other prayer points there as well. Maybe you could just touch on those before we close down this portion.
Sure, I'd love to. And one thing before I go into this is that the abortion chamber on the Treasure Coast is in Fort Pierce on Delaware and 12th. It's on the corner there. And it was barren. I mean, there was like nobody there. And now the parking lot is packed. When they do their abortions, they do them at least once a week. And so I would encourage people, as they're driving from Stewart, or, you know, you're going to Fort Pierce, to drive by there. Take time to just get out and worship God, bring His presence there, intercede for the staff. that's there. Their son was a believer. He's passed, and so we just join our prayers with his for the people that are there. God, open their eyes. Father, let them hear the cry of the innocent. Let them see what they're doing, and God, grant them repentance.
Amen.
Grant them forgiveness, deliverance, God. Let them choose life, Father. Let them use that land for restorative purposes, God, for the orphans and the widows, God, for life and not death. We ask you, Father, we cry out to you to have mercy on them. And Father, have mercy on us that they have been there for decades now, tucked away in a poor part of the neighborhood, which was Margaret Sanger's strategy, if you know that background of Planned Parenthood. And it's right across the street from a school. So Father, we ask you to uproot that spirit of death.
Yes.
Grant us repentance. Yes. Give us an atmosphere of life. And Father, we pray for us as the body of Christ. God, give us a thirst for your word. Help us to read your word. Give us that daily rhema, that manna daily from your word, God. Show us what you love and help us love what you love. God, help us hate what you hate. Help us repent from all of our disobedience and walk in your ways, God. And most of all, Father, help us teach our little ones. Help us give our little ones a thirst for you. Let them be worshipers, God. Teach us how to train them up to be pure and holy, to know who they are in Christ.
Thank you, Father.
God, we pray that they would be so focused on pleasing you and knowing you that they will not be seduced to have sex before marriage, God. For we know that fornicators and idolaters are not going to heaven. So, Father, we cry out to you. And those of us who have been in sin, God, we come to you right now.
Thank you, Father.
And we ask you, forgive us.
Amen.
And we thank you. Your word promises in 1 John 1, 8, 9, that when we forgive, when we repent, that you forgive us and you cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Amen.
We receive that cleansing,
thank you,
that
Father.
Forgiveness, that healing right now. And we thank you for the blood of Jesus
praise
Christ.
God.
There's nothing we've done that isn't able to be cleansed by the shed blood of Jesus. And
thank
so, God,
Lord.
We thank you for that. And we just dedicate ourselves anew, afresh, to serve you with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our souls, all of our strength. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Brenda, thank you so much. Please keep us posted, and we'll be talking with you soon.
Thank you
God
so
bless.
Much, y'all. God
Amen.
Bless you.
Bye. Only you can.
And indeed we do. We want to see revival in our land, and we know that God starts that revival really in his church, because 2 Chronicles 7:14 says that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. And this brings us to our next guest, a couple, Tim and Maria Widrow. Welcome. And your vision and burden to call the body of Christ to be a part of a 21-day fast. We just entered into that this week. Welcome to our program, and welcome to WCNO.
Thanks for having us, Jonathan.
So
thank you so much.
Well, we love you all. Thank you. I just thank God for the passion that you have to see revival in our nation. And we're already into the fast a few days, and we may have listeners today that have not heard about it and are just wondering, what is a Daniel fast all about? What is this 21-day fast? What is this call to prayer all about? So speak to us.
Okay. Well, this is a nationwide fast. In the order of Daniel, who fasted in the Bible. And, of course, you can read about that in the book of Daniel in the Old Testament. It is a fast for many reasons. Everybody has their own reason. We were fortunate to go to a Bible study last night and add some more people to our prayer list, which is getting pretty long, and we're very happy about that. But it is a fast for our unsaved family members. It is also a fast for sparking revival in our nation.
Healing the nation.
And healing the nation, as Maria said, yes. So we're excited about it. We're in day two, and people can join right in. We're going to do it through the 28th. However, you can do a 10-day fast. You can do a 3-day fast. You can join us for 21 days. So
one day even.
Even one day.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's not about fasting only. I just want to make that true that it's also about prayer. And we, of course, have our prayer partners in place. And anyone who chooses to be our prayer partner can just go to our website, go to our Contact Us form, and we will add them to our prayer list. And we will pray for them. We just ask that they also pray for us and all the others who are participating.
800 people.
So far we've had about 800 orders of the books, give or take a few. And so we are very, very excited to reach 800 or more people who are going to be joining us prayer and fasting for our unsaved loved ones, and also for our nation for revival. So that's really exciting, Jonathan.
It is exciting. It is exciting. And I remember when you were starting just, 2-3 years ago with this, and you know, we had the book, you came in the studio, and we sort of got acquainted and started promoting it. Now, for those who may not know, you have a tremendous amount of resources available. I'm looking at a book. It is entitled Daniel Fast, Daily Prayer Journal. It's a workbook with study guides, meal planners, devotional prayers, and more. Very helpful book. And I have a copy that is in the orange, and I have a copy in the green. And Maria, tell us the difference between those, because I think we might have some doodlers out there. And we want to make these available to the callers that call the station. So that number, Karen, get our station number out.
That number is 772-221-1100.
One second, Maria. Go ahead with the number again, Karen.
772-221-1100.
All right, Maria, what's the difference in the two books, and how helpful is that book to anyone that's looking for a guide?
So the difference between this book is, because if somebody likes to do doodling, or if they want to do coloring so they can remember the verse better, so the orange book actually offered that option. Well, the green book is much more for those people who do not like to color or doodle.
So we
they
have
are the same.
praying doodlers and praying non-doodlers.
Correct.
Okay. All right. So, again, the Daniel Fast just started this week, just into today is day two, and it's going to be running until the 28th, but you can get involved on any kind of a level. Tim, for some who have never really fasted and they're thinking, oh my, I will shrivel up like a prune after 21 days and there'll be nothing left of me. Can you assure them that there actually is some food that you can eat on the Daniel diet?
Yes. We have had this question from day one when we started, I think it was 5 years ago, that we started the Daniel Fast, and that was the biggest question that we always got. What are we going to eat? People have this fear that they're going to starve. Nothing could be further from the truth, as a matter of fact. You're going to eat as much as you like. It's just that you are limited in what you eat to actually nutritious fruits, vegetables, pulses, water, the things that are actually good for your body. And the Lord knows what's good for your body. Mm. So when Daniel fasted, he prayed to the Lord to reveal what he should fast. And this is what he came up with. So we also, because of that question, we also have a Daniel Fast cookbook on our website, which answers that question. There's over 127 different recipes in there for breakfast, lunch, dinner. There's meal plans. There's prayers. So we have the workbook guide, which you mentioned, the orange one, the green one. We also have the Daniel Fast cookbook. And now we have the Daniel Fast workbook and guide completely in Spanish. So if there is anyone listening who prefers Spanish, and perhaps they have family members who prefer Spanish, then this is available as well. So we've got that covered, Jonathan. We've been doing this for years, and I know you have too, and we have not wasted away. I believe, you know, we're still here, right?
Amen. We are still here.
We've gone out together, and we've had the potlucks together, and we've eaten together and fellowshiped together. And I think that's part of the charm of the Daniel Fast as well. You get yourself a partner, and you can discover some new dishes, but also pray and fast with that partner. And we want to be part of any of those folks out there that want to do that, and we would love to have them with us. May I mention the website?
Sure.
Okay. It is danielfast.org. It's very simple, just danielfast.org, and there you'll find not only these three or four books for Daniel Fast, but there are another 20 or so Christian books on there that you can find, as well as videos. There's video recipes. You know, if you want to try your hand at some new recipes with the cookbook, well, there's videos to kind of walk you through it. There's praise and worship music. There are some cartoons on there that are very interesting and have Christian, Christian themes. So there's a lot on the website there if you just go to danielfast.org.
Well, that I really appreciate you linking up with us today and letting our listeners know that it's not too late. And it won't be too late on any day. Somebody could come in next week. They could come in on the 28th, and it wouldn't be too late. And it's just important that we as the body of Christ, understand that prayer and fasting together is a powerful tool that God is able to use to move us to the Father. I think sometimes, you know, of all the things that are done in Christianity and in the religious world, and sometimes we may think of these as just activities that we have. But Sunday, I was moved to just really focus with our congregation, Tim and Marie. I know you visited with us, and you know our family. We have an awesome family. But the focus that God put on my heart was that we need to do what Jesus did. You know, we used to have that bumper sticker, "What would Jesus do?" And then one of the elders in our congregation said, "We need a bumper sticker that says, now that we know what Jesus did, let's do it." And so, you know, I want to just say this morning.
That's the problem.
Yeah, that's the problem. We need to do it. Right. And, you know, after Jesus was baptized in the Jordan, he was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness. And then he fasted 40 days. And he was tempted by the devil. That scripture says he went into the wilderness full of the Holy Spirit. But when you read how he came out of the wilderness, he came out operating in the power of the Holy Spirit. There is a clear distinction. He went in full. He came out with a full demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit. And so, Tim and Maria, I do believe that there is a lot more talk than there is walk going on in the body of Christ. And if God can move us through our wilderness and our desert places so that there is a greater expression and demonstration of a living God in and through his church, I believe this is part of the revival that God is bringing.
Yes.
Yes.
Amen.
Exactly. That was amazing. The perfect way to explain the fast. If you're looking for spiritual breakthroughs, if you're looking to grow closer to the Lord, he told us how to do it.
Yep.
Pray and fast.
That's it.
And it's the first fruits of the year.
First fruits of the year.
First fruits of the year is to give ourselves to God.
Amen. Amen.
Because if it's important to do that, we generally do four fasts, which one is the beginning of the year, which is the first fruits of the fast. Then we're going to do before Easter, and then we do another one before Yom Kippur, like the same as Yom Kippur.
Sure.
And then it's this one. But this one is the beginning. In the today verse, actually, is very interesting. If you look it in a prayer calendar in the book, it's 148 page. Say, do not dwell in the past.
There you go.
Forget the former things and don't dwell in the past. This is Isaiah 43:18.
Amen.
It's very important for us to step in a different realm of...
Move forward.
Well, we're going to look to stay in touch with you every week as we do Wednesday Live, and just keep calling the state of Florida and our nation back to God, calling this generation back to God. That is certainly a theme here that we are focused on, that we not only need an awakening and a revival, I believe God is calling his church to do that. So, Tim and Maria, we love you. Give that address one more time so people can get a hold of you.
Yes. Just go to danielfast.org, and just to let you know, it's a nationwide fast, but we are here local in South Florida, so we're not over in California or somewhere. We're right here, right in your hometown here, so please get a hold of us at danielfast.org. We'd love to add you to our prayer calendar and have you be part of this fast.
Get the book from the radio station.
Or you can get the book from the radio station, yes, for WCNO if you call. I believe you mentioned, Jonathan,
two books.
I got a few of them to give away.
I'm going
to
give away two books today. Two books to the first two callers. And so give us a call, 772-221-1100, 772-221-1100. We will cover the cost of shipping. These books are available as a gift from Tim and Maria Wydrobe and their ministry. So give us a call. The first two callers, 772-221-1100. God bless both of you. We love you. And I am off on my Daniel's fast, and my wife is with me, and I think even my son is participating, and we have our congregation is a part, and we thank you for leading us and calling us to Christ.
Well, you are tops on our list on our prayer list, Jonathan.
Thank you.
Right at the top of the list. You, your ministry, the radio station, and your church and your family is right at the top of the list.
I do appreciate it, and I have to tell you, last night, I believe I had the best rest I've had in years. And I do believe this is part of God's work in our life, getting us prepared for this year. Blessings to you. We must move along, and we love you very much. Give us a call here at the station. We have some books. Blessings. Goodbye.
Bye.
Thank you, Jonathan.
All right. Goodbye. All right. We are moving on, and you have something, Brandon. What's in your heart? Did you have something to share, a thought?
Well, one thing I definitely would like to share definitely is the fact one of the callers talking about how some people that are believers, you know, identifying like on the pro-choice side. Well, what I'd like to also say is that what I also find hypocritical with the pro-choice side is that one of my friends has had sometimes debates with people where she notices the hypocrisy where they say, okay, my body, my choice. But when it comes to like circumcision of the babies, they're not that logic of my body, my choice just goes out the door. It just goes out the window where it's wondering, saying, if you're pro my body, my choice, then why are you hypocritically pro child mutilation? What is wrong with you?
So what you're saying is they pick and choose. They pick and choose the position.
Yes.
But don't you think that's powerful, what Brenda shared with us in reference to her encounter, that they were not really aware of the facts?
That's true.
And that, to me, that is concerning.
Yeah.
Yes.
Seamus, welcome. We have to talk about dads, kids, sons and daughters, right? I mean, it goes to the whole family. Tell us again the ministry you're with and what's on your heart and why do you have this passion?
Thank you. Thank you so much for this opportunity. I am passionate about fathers and fatherhood. And that is not only because of how I was brought up, but also because I'm a very proud dad. And I also see, as a former school teacher and current social worker, I also see the impact in our society when dads are absent. And rather than just being somebody who identifies the problem, I have chosen with a number of other people to be part of the solution.
Awesome. Awesome. That's awesome. So tell us about father-child connection.
The father-child.
How did this come together, and how can people find out more, and how does this work? What's the goal?
Let's start back, far back. I grew up in a very large family.
Okay.
12 of us, and I'm the last of 12.
That is a large family.
It is a large
family.
Though
I had a neighbor that had 13 children.
We should play a game. We could compete, right?
And
I had a dad who worked very hard. He was a good provider.
Provider, okay.
But I can tell you, and I am telling you, I can't recall once when my dad said, I loved you.
Wow.
I can't recall once him hugging me.
Wow.
And as I grew up, I said to myself, when I become a father, I'm going to flip the script. And so now that I have a wonderful daughter, she hopefully, well, might be listening right now, I would flood her with I love yous
that's
and
awesome.
Hugs and what have you.
That's awesome.
And that's another thing, too, that we say to many of the fathers who have not grown up with a father figure, that it is not an excuse not to be what you should be, because even with a bad dad, you can learn what not
Absolutely.
To be.
Absolutely.
So with my own personal experience, as well as what I have seen in the classroom, as whatever what I've seen in SAM and our community, we decided to start a nonprofit organization to empower fathers and father figures to establish, reestablish, or strengthen their connection with their children, as well as to prepare today's sons to be tomorrow's responsible fathers.
That's awesome.
So we have a two-pronged mission, because what we have seen is that most of the fatherhood programs in our community, the few that they are, focus only on the fathers. But if we only do that, we are waiting for the problem to come, because these young boys, and many of them are boys, are becoming fathers too quickly.
Yes.
And so if we don't approach the scourge of father absence from both sides, we will always have this problem. One of my favorite heroes, Frederick Douglass, said, it is better to prepare boys than to repair men.
That's good.
And we've extended that to, it is better to prepare tomorrow's fathers today than to wait
until
they become fathers, and then we run around with resources trying to fix them. So this is a need in our community, a big need. And most of the agencies, again, that are out there, and there are some very good ones, are mother-focused. Many of the agencies. And so we decided to partner with those agencies to say, okay, you continue to do the amazing work that you're doing, but how can we partner with you to work with the moms so that we can, one, encourage the biological fathers to be involved, and if that is not possible or desirable, how can we work with the moms to get a father figure from within their own family, stepdad, granddad, uncle, and if that is not possible or desirable, then it comes to that third part, Jonathan, which is why I'm here. How can the church family, the body of Christ, step up, and as the program that we have is called Dad Up, and become a dad tour for this young man or this young lady? And I am so very excited about what I do believe with all of my heart God is going to be doing with fathers and father figures this year, because we are on a mission to find 1,000 father figures or fathers. Call it Dad Up 1,000. Dad Up 1,000. We're challenging at least 1,000 men to do one of three things. One, give an hour a week. So we're asking for their hours. 1 hour a week to be a father figure for a young lady or a young man. I want to quickly add that this Dad Tour, as we call them, is not a partner for mom. This is not eHarmony.com part two. No, this is being there for the child.
Okay.
And to be a father figure for him or her. So we're asking for their hours, 1 hour at least. Two, we're asking for their prayers.
Yeah.
We believe with all of our heart that if we pray, God will do something. He will. I'm honored to be the pastor of the Jensen Beach Church of God, and one of the verses that I like so very much is the fact that Jesus said, if you're short of workers, and by the way, I know many churches who are, pray the Lord of the harvest, and he'll send workers.
Yes.
Well, we're praying that he'll send fathers and father figures.
That's good.
So we're asking for their hours. We're asking for their prayers.
Yes.
And then they can dad up to the third stage and give their dollars. And that's $100 a year tax deductible that we're asking for each father and father figure to give. And that money, by the way, does not go towards paying staff or anything like that. We have three big activities each year. We have Father Fest coming up in June. That's when we celebrate and affirm fathers and father figures. And then, I should have mentioned that one first, in February we have the father-daughter dinner and dance. And then September we have Bring Your Dad to School Day. And those funds we would use to help local schools to provide breakfast for the fathers who show up. And the Father Fest, all the activities, the balloons, the face painting, all of that, the cost gets this covered.
Excellent. Excellent.
I'm so excited.
So how can a pastor promote this? How can a small group leader, maybe a youth leader, how do you get the word out, and where do we start? Where do we go from here?
Yes, and I'm so glad you asked that, because there are some churches that say, well, we don't have many men or any men at all, or most of them are old. And I'm saying, thank goodness, because what we want to do is to have the older generation being a dad tour for the younger generation. We have some young dads who have never had a father figure. So here they are being fathers without having what it really means, an understanding of what it means to be a father. And so by having the older grandfather or senior in that church to be a dad tour for that father. Again, we don't ask for dads with perfect track record, because then we couldn't live up to your record.
Sure.
Well, we need somebody with the most checkered past to show a person what not to do. So even the person who says, I don't have a degree, or I used to be in prison, what have you, hey, while we have some things that we need to do, yes, I think somebody once said it takes a village, Unfortunately, we have to background and chain and train the villagers.
Good point. Good point. We have rogue villagers.
So there are some boundaries that we have to do, but it does not mean that that person still couldn't help, because even if we're doing an event, that person who may not be able to work directly with children could go and help us set up the day before.
So there is some training always. for the fathers.
Yes.
Some guidelines in regards to where to start with kids.
Yes, we do. We have a curriculum that we use. The National Fatherhood Initiative provides a curriculum that we use. It's called 24/7 Dad.
Okay.
But I've also discovered a new one recently called Dr. Dad. And I also got a very good faith-based Christian one from Man in the Mirror. So there are some very good...
Yeah, Man in the Mirror is excellent.
There's some very good curricula out there that we use to train fathers.
To give some guidelines.
That's true.
Yeah.
Every profession, every discipline there is, people spend years getting prepared for it. CDL. I heard somebody asking about a psychiatrist or something like that. You get trained.
Yeah.
Who trains the dad
to be a dad? Who trains the dad to be a dad? Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. So for the pastor that's listening today, where does he go?
So there are two things I would like with the limited time that we have. If they could give me a call, the phone number is 561-229-2379. I repeat that, 561-229-2379. They can also email me at sgordon@thefatherchildconnection.org. And we're willing to work with every organization. In fact, that's one of the reasons I'm looking forward to this partnership with you here, because you do reach a very wide cross-section of people of faith that we have a part to play. The church can and should play a very important part.
So this is not it's not a denominational event. This is God save our families, God save our kids, save our sons, save our daughters. This is not self-promotional. This is God promotional, this is such a tremendous need. I related as you were talking about your family and growing up. My mother told me one time that my father never held me as a child. I said, Mom, that can't be true. She said, your father never held you as a child. Because I could, as a baby, I could never remember a time when Dad had given me a hug or Dad had said, I love you. And I would hear Dad say, well, I'm providing a roof over your head. And, we were in a Christian family, quote, quote. So the church needs to hear this message. Dad was busy serving God. He was busy serving God. And he was up getting gifts for the neighbors up the street whose father died. He was filling a lot of roles. But in our family, his presence that he slept there and ate there was assumed to be. And he did pray for us, no question about it. But I'll tell you, the day came when God told me I could build a bridge back to my dad. This goes both ways. There's a lot of young people, maybe grown up today, that have issues between they and their fathers. And there's a lot of healing that can take place. And God told me a bridge is built from two sides of the bank, both sides. And you may be in a family where you were neglected, maybe you were abused. I dealt with a lot of abuse, dealt with a lot of things growing up. And I'll tell you what, the day when God said, I want you to begin to make a list of every positive thing. You, the enemy reminds us of the negatives.
Yes, he does.
Make a list of every positive thing that's the result of having your father in your life. And every time you see him, I want you to emphasize one of those positive things and make it a purpose to go see your dad. And I'll tell you, Seamus, that started changing my life. It started to set me free, and it started to change our relationship. And the first day I said, Dad, could I give you a hug? It was like hugging a concrete telephone pole. There was no response at all. But my father would end up being one of my closest prayer partners that every